This is a Memorial Day edition of the State Capitol Report. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, May 28th. Wisconsin's recall election is just 1 week and 1 day away, and the candidates will be busy campaigning on this Memorial Day and throughout the week. We will get a preview of what's on tap and the latest issues making news coming up during this edition of the State Capitol Report. Right now, we welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson, who has a recap as well of Friday night's first gubernatorial debate and a roundup of some of the other issues that are making news on the campaign trail. And Sean joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning.
Happy holiday to you.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day.
That's right. It is Memorial Day, and there will be a lot of campaigning going on. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a bit. But you covered, or at least we had the first gubernatorial debate between Governor Scott Walker and Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett on Friday night. I watched it, and or at least most of it. It's hard for me to stay up, but I take it you saw all of it.
Yeah. It's their first of two debates in the shortened campaign cycle. So, you know, one of the only chances you're going to get to see in this campaign, this historic campaign, the only chance you're going to get to see them on stage like that together.
What was the headline of the debate?
The headline of the debate, I mean, it seemed to be, you know, that Tom Barrett, Mayor Barrett, was the aggressor in this. And, I mean, he did go after the governor consistently and really kind of kept up the energy throughout the debate. And, you know, I think we got an example of that here to play. You know, one of the themes that you hear from the mayor is that the governor has divided the state. And he addressed that in, you know, quite a few ways, including early on in the debate.
I think of great leaders, leaders like Franklin Roosevelt, leaders like Giuliani. And what did they do at a time of crisis? They tried to bring their people together. You decided to use a budget crisis to try to divide and conquer this state. That's what happened. That's what led to all of this. And you succeeded. You succeeded in dividing this state.
And, you know, throughout the night, I think you saw the governor, you know, the term often used with him is unflappable. He didn't really get, you know, shaken by being, you know, sort of by the mayor's, you know, a more aggressive tactic in the campaign. His retort to the divide and conquer line generally is that, okay, you want to bring people together. That doesn't necessarily match your rhetoric in the primary campaign. And, you know, here's an example from Governor Scott Walker.
The mayor, my opponent, talked about this all throughout the primary, that he wants to go back and completely restore collective bargaining. That means we're going to have that battle all over again. In fact, in the primary at some of the forums, he said he was going to get in the ring and fight and fight and fight. And if somebody didn't go his way, he was going to target them and take them out. Members of the legislature went on his side. He'd target them and take them out. That doesn't sound like somebody who's ready to move on and move this state forward. We're ready to move on. We're ready to move forward. We don't want to replay those battles. We think it's time to get this state working again and move forward.
The governor was saying forward a lot.
That is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something. It's something that you hear Russ Feingold say during his campaigns quite a bit. I mean, it's a, you know, it can mean whatever you want it to mean in a way, but it's been adopted by Democratic candidates in the past. It's something that the governor says in all his messages now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the target, I just listening to the governor's remarks there and going back and looking at some of the things that Tom Barrett did say in the primary campaign. You know, he did talk about fight and fight and fight, put me in that ring. I didn't find the passage where he said target and take them out, but he did talk about if somebody votes against this bill, we can, you know, run against them in November. So, you know, mm-hmm. I think the sentiment may be there, but I'm not sure. At least I couldn't find that phrase.
Did anything new come out of the debate?
It's definitely, you know, that's arguable. You saw quite a few people say no new material here. Both hit, you know, their main points. I would say that the mayor, Tom Barrett, did come out with sort of a new line in this debate, where he talked about, you know, the difference between himself and Governor Walker is that he has a record of saying no to people who support him. Here's Tom Barrett.
Scott's talked a lot about the unions tonight, the large public unions. Let's face it, I wasn't their first choice. And I'm certainly not the first choice of the people on the far right. And why is that? Because I've said no to my friends and to people who oppose me politically. That's the test of leadership. It's easy to say yes to people who give you millions of dollars. It's easy to say no to your political opponents. The real test of leadership is whether you can say no to people who are your friends.
And this is one of those arguments that, you know, it was sort of assumed that the mayor was going to make, you know, before the primary campaign even started between himself and Kathleen Falk. But until now, you really haven't heard it vocalized. You haven't heard him say, I wasn't the first choice of the unions. And here he was in the debates making that point. One of the other things that we knew we were going to hear about in the debate, because the mayor was running campaign ads saying, you got to answer these questions, Governor. And just it's been the number one line of attack from Democrats lately, is on the John Doe investigation into former aides of Governor Walker when he was Milwaukee County Executive. And, you know, there haven't been new charges in that investigation for a few months now, but we do know it's an ongoing investigation from the statements of the prosecutors there, the Milwaukee County District Attorney. And so the mayor was going to press the governor, we knew, on why don't you disclose who's funding your legal defense fund? And why don't you disclose some more emails related to this secret computer network that was at the heart of the probe in Milwaukee a couple years ago? The mayor did not end up having to ask that question. You know, he alluded to it several times, certainly, but it was asked of the governor by one of the moderators. And the, you know, the governor, I don't know that you'd call this new, but it was one of the more, you know, extensive answers he's given on this topic. At least, you know, in the last several weeks.
This investigation started because my office asked for it nearly 2 years ago. We had concerns about someone who was involved with a veterans-related program, and we asked the district attorney to look into it. That's why we're involved in this process. That's why we continue to cooperate. And that's why, as you mentioned, we haven't been the target of this. There's nothing new here. The reason I think the mayor and our opponents want to spend so much time on this is they want to distract attention because they're desperate. The things that this election was supposedly about, the reforms, are things they don't talk about anymore because they're working.
You know, and that last bit is something that the governor talks about in several ways is, you know, we're talking about this because you know, they don't want to talk about collective bargaining, which is what started this campaign. A couple other things he said there, though, in terms of the timing of when the investigation was started, and I don't think we have enough information to say that definitively, that this investigation, this John Doe, was started because his office contacted them about veterans funds. And I mean, you just look back at the timeline of when that came up as compared to, you know, when several other things happened, when the John Doe investigation was officially launched. And, you know, we don't know the variety of factors that led to it, but, you know, the John Doe was launched around the time that Darlene Wink, one of the, you know, employees in the governor's county executive office, was investigated. So it is documented that somebody from his office did approach the Milwaukee County DA and say, we've got some problems with these veterans funds. But, you know, this thing has meandered many different directions since then. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, you know, I don't think we can make that statement.
Did Mayor Barrett ever counter Governor Walker's statement that collective bargaining is not an issue in this campaign anymore because his reforms are working, so the other side doesn't want to talk about that anymore? Did Mayor Barrett concede the reforms were working?
No, he doesn't concede that the reforms are working. But, you know, it's they have ceded the issue a little bit to Republicans, you know, in a sense, in that It is something that the governor has talked about more, and by doing that, he decides how he wants to frame it more often. Yeah. You know, I mean, Democrats definitely don't think the reforms are working. You know, the
But they're concentrating on other issues like the John Doe and the Civil War.
Yeah, I mean, they don't feel like they're going to move the people in the middle they need to on collective bargaining, so they're focusing on these other issues.
Boyd on Facebook writes, "There is one thing Governor Walker did not do in the final moments of the debate. He had the chance to ask Mayor Barrett what he would have done differently, and instead he took a pass. I find this puzzling, since he has talked about this quite a bit during the campaign." So the governor took a pass on asking Mayor Barrett a question at the end?
He did. And, you know, he said that he did that a couple of years ago, which I was there, and I actually don't remember that. But he did take a pass on asking the mayor a question. And I think it was I think that the governor's approach in this was to show that, in a way, to show I'm not being the aggressor here because I got nothing to worry about. You know, you could try to read his mind on the reasoning for all this, but he did not ask a question. And in terms of what Boyd is talking about there, his big line of attack on Tom Barrett right now is what would you have done, and to focus the campaign a little bit on the mayor's record in Milwaukee, which you're going to talk about in the next half hour. You know, one way of measuring how the debate went was that the governor really didn't, you know, by my clock, he didn't really hit that point until about 45 minutes in, and he worked it into an answer about Medicaid, where he really turned it on the mayor and said, "What's your plan?" I mean, that's sort of his strongest point against the mayor right now, and the fact that he didn't get to that till maybe 45 minutes in is a sign that Tom Barrett did have him on the defensive a bit on Friday night.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. Wondering what were your impressions of the debate between Governor Scott Walker and Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett on Friday night? Do you think either candidate changed any minds or helped the few undecided voters make up their minds? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms starting in the west this morning and then moving east this afternoon. Numerous showers and thunderstorms expected in the east this afternoon. Highs will range from the upper 70s in the north to the upper 80s in the south. There is also a flash flood watch for parts of northwest Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, talking with us about Friday night's debate between Governor Walker and Mayor Barrett and other issues from the campaign trail from the past week. Coming up after 7:30, we will welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio's Milwaukee-based reporter, Chuck Hornbach, to talk about the role that Milwaukee is taking in this recall campaign. And Sean, on Facebook, Gary says, "I watched the debate and did not see a clear winner or loser. Certainly nothing that would change anyone's vote. Although Barrett gave what I consider to be the best performance, Walker did keep his composure and repeated his talking points with a straight face." So, I mean, is there any reaction to whether or not this debate moved any minds?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're such a divided state right now that I think anybody should be cautious about saying so-and-so won because, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder, and people are going to have different reactions from this debate. I think it is fair to characterize it that Tom Barrett had the governor basically, you know, on the defensive throughout the night, but that the governor didn't look flustered.
And there's another debate coming up this week.
Thursday, yeah. Yes. And, you know, so that one won't be blurred by the Memorial Day weekend so much. It maybe gets more attention.
So one last time to compare the two before the recall election. Well, there were also last week, both campaigns had some big shots campaigning for them.
Yeah. Governor Walker had a campaign rally and later a fundraiser in Waukesha, and something where he invited supporters, and the guest of honor was Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, who said that, you know, he liked the governor's message so much that he had used it in Louisiana. Here's Bobby Jindal.
You've got a governor that's leading, and I love the way that he describes his leadership principles. Listen to what he said. This is not about the next election. This is not about the next poll. This is about the next generation. I literally opened our legislative session quoting Governor Walker to our legislators in Louisiana. Imagine how different our country would be if everybody we elected to represent us in Wisconsin or Washington, D.C. had that attitude.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't seen you haven't seen the national figures coming in for Tom Barrett, at least to this point, in a big way, probably, as much as he had hoped. They have Russ Feingold out campaigning for him last week, though. Russ Feingold urging people to vote early, describing what the governor had done as a savage attack on the values of Wisconsin. And he said there was going to be a torrent of enthusiasm among Democrats in the closing weeks of the campaign. Here's Democrat Russ Feingold.
My sense is that people are going to be surprised at the turnout on our side. I think when people are willing to stand outside for weeks at a time in the freezing cold, just about every single one of them will come out here and vote on a beautiful June day. And so I think the polling is underestimating the power of the turnout that you're going to see on behalf of removing Walker from the governorship. So I'm optimistic.
And speaking of early voting, the Government Accountability Board came out with numbers on the number of absentee ballots that had been issued so far in that early voting period for the recall election. And to give it some context, we are about halfway to where we were. It's about 113,000 as of Friday afternoon. And that was just since last Monday. So,
113,000.
Right. And so, less than a full week, or about mm-hmm. a full week, you got 113,000. That's about halfway to where we were in November of 2010, when you had 4 weeks ahead of the election to vote absentee. This time around, you're only going to have two. Break that down a little bit more. In Madison, city of Madison, the clerk there, Meredith Witzel Beal, said that as of Friday afternoon, they had issued a little over 10,000 absentee ballots. When I was in there, they had about a 15-20 minute line to vote absentee early. And to compare that, so about 10,000 ballots in all of 2010, they issued about 12,000 in Madison. So they're probably going to break that pace, it's fair to say, in the couple weeks here. On top of that, the Madison City Clerk was one of the places where you could go in and vote over the weekend, even over the Memorial Day weekend. And in fact, even on this Memorial Day holiday, they're open from 9 o'clock until noon this morning. So
now that's unusual, yeah.
It is unusual, especially in other places. But Meredith Witzel Beal, the city clerk of Madison, said it's not out of character with what they've done before in Madison.
We've always been open over a weekend before each election. It used to be we were open the weekend before an election, but now we're prohibited by law from doing that, so we're open the second weekend before an election. And that just happened to fall on Memorial Day weekend for this particular election, and we didn't even consider not being open for a weekend. For some people, it's their only chance to get into the office to vote absentee.
So is there any talk about how this is going to affect the outcome of the recall election, this heavy early voting?
It's something that I think both parties are pushing. They both want to get their supporters to the polls and get those votes locked in. And I would say Democrats have been pushing it harder in that first week. They had events throughout the state with Democratic leaders saying, don't forget, you can vote now. Get in and take care of it. They want to get those votes, secured. And rumor also that Democrats have this list of 900,000 plus people who signed a recall petition. Presumably, they would want to vote against the governor. And so Democrats are trying to get those people locked in. Say, get to the polls, get that taken care of. And especially, for their volunteers, they want to get them out on the trail, maybe knocking on doors and getting other people to vote. So.
Well, the gubernatorial recall election gets most of the attention and the debate on Friday. But there was another debate last week between two candidates in the state Senate recalls. And you covered that, Sean?
Yes, I would say this was much more fiery than the gubernatorial debate, really. And it, really, the candidates went at it more than the gubernatorial debate. And this was between Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald and Democratic challenger Lori Compass. And, you know, it was just it's just a hotbed of, you know, enthusiasm there and this debate that was held over the week or last week. And here's just a little example of the back and forth between Fitzgerald and Compass over the, you know, contentious collective bargaining bill that Fitzgerald pushed through. And we'll start with Fitzgerald here.
If you're hearing from the same people that are really hurting out there, I can't believe that you wouldn't support Act 10 or the reforms that we put in place.
I can't believe that.
This is another example of this divide and conquer strategy. You're
Please respect the candidates.
You are turning neighbor against neighbor. I heard you on the news on Sunday night saying teachers were getting paid too much or public employees were getting paid too much and their neighbors were tired of paying for their health insurance. I just don't understand what kind of leader can try to turn neighbor against neighbor. That doesn't make sense to me.
Go ahead, Senator.
I'm not trying to turn neighbor against neighbor. We're trying to bring fairness. And the fairness is that the public employee unions have for too long been protected from the downturn in the economy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty pretty feisty.
As opposed to like the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association debate, where it's just two candidates in a room, fairly quiet, rigid, you know, 2 minute speak, 2 minute response. This was a real back and forth. And as you heard, the supporters of both candidates in the crowd, I heard a supporter for each candidate call the other candidate a liar from the crowd, you know, whether under their breath or shouting.
Well, we're going to check news, and all this week, there's a series of stories on the Senate candidates.
Yeah, we'll have stories all this week. It's in the 7:30 newscast on the Senate candidates.
Thank you, Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. More after the news.